Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. It's the L.A. Steel Show. L.A. Steel. And tonight we got George Dixon joining us in a short while. Unfortunately, Lila is not going to be able to join us tonight. She's involved with a union meeting. She is president of her local union, and they're in the middle of negotiations, and she's running a little late. But I wanted to, tonight we're going to be talking, I believe, with George about the Anunnaki and exactly what that entails is, and we're going to, we wanted to discuss the ramifications of that and what they are, where they are, who they are. The Anunnaki essentially is, described by Sumerian tablets and Zachariah Sitchin's. And for the Anunnaki, as depicted in the 12th planet through Zachariah Sitchin's, the 12th planet redirects here. Sitchin's attributes the creation of the ancient Sumerian culture to the Anunnaki, or Nephilim, a race of aliens from a planet he calls Nibiru, which he believes to be an elongated elliptical orbit in the Earth's own solar system. He asserts that Sumerian mythology reflects this view, though his speculations are entirely discounted by professional scientists, historians, and archaeologists who note many problems with his translations of ancient texts and with his understanding of physics. So we're basing a lot of his stuff on people who are poo-pooing his translations. Which would be normal, considering that most people are assholes, and in the academic world, and extremely jealous. And the man has been able to accumulate a vast knowledge, and I think it's important to talk about it. And George is with us. Hang on 1 second. Hello, George.
How you doing, Leo?
How are you?
I'm fine.
Yeah, I was surprised to read that so many people disapprove of Sitchin's work, especially in the academic community. But, I found so many academics to be such idiots that, they're complete and utter, morons and academia. That's my opinion. So, how are you, George?
I'm doing fine, Leo. Don't let the academic world get you down, my friend.
Oh, they always do. I never understand them and never agree with them. They're just a bunch of paid mouthpieces, usually most of them, and they get about them as much balls as a eunuch. I've been so upset with academic. The academia that over the many, many years, even though I work in the field, I'm appalled at the ignorance of so many of the people that work in the field. But so I'm sorry. So go ahead, George. We wanted to talk about the Anunnaki tonight, didn't we?
Yes, we did. The one problem about the academic community that they so focus in on their own specialty that they close anything else until they can prove it.
Oh, yeah.
In the meanwhile, all you have to do is take a look at the basics that you're working with, and like a science, an engineer would adapt, movements as a biologist would track the movements, let's say in mammals or in plants.
Well, I did.
And it's basically the same patterns, the same. Bases that you're dealing with, but it's just expressed differently. It's like the batonic solids. you know, they you have five basic patterns, and with those patterns, you can adapt not only physical matter but also living matter.
Yeah, I found that I mean, when I look it back and I see who really made the major changes in this world, and you look at fellows like Thomas Edison who never made it through the eighth grade.
Yeah.
You look at people like there are numerous numbers of people. I mean, I think of the one in particular is Sam Walmart or Sam what's his name? Sam I forgot his name. But the guy who started up Walmart. And this guy had a sixth grade education, you know, and you know, developed the largest retailing operation in the world. You know, so many people. Another interesting fellow was Clement Stone, who was the founder of Combine Insurance and a billionaire. He never went beyond the seventh or eighth grade. You know, so many billionaires, so many people that understood the essential elements of.
And what was that, Leo? The essential elements that you're talking about.
Laws. They were working with cosmic laws. They understood these laws, the laws of cause and effect, the laws of compensation, the laws of doing more than you're paid for. Just a number of things that they did that allowed them to succeed, and having tremendous faith in themselves and what they were doing, but you know it overrides all of academia. I mean, I used to laugh at one of the things I laughed at most is when I read the biography of Henry Ford many years ago, and when there was a slander. He was involved with a slander trial. He sued one of the major papers. I forget which one it was, saying that he was an ignorant man and that he never went beyond sixth grade or something or other, that he was virtually illiterate. This is Henry Ford.
Mm-hmm.
And in the trial, the prosecutor asked him, or the attorney asked him, you know, why do you, you know, do you know this question? Do you know that? Do you know this? And they asked him all these stupid questions. And the guy said, look, he said, in my office, he says, I have on my desk, he says, I have buttons for everybody, for anybody, any question that comes up, he says, I have a button for so that I can ask somebody. He says, I have an expert in the field, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I don't have to carry all this knowledge around. I don't have to know all this knowledge. He says, all I have to do is press a button, all right, and I can get anything you ask for, all right, anything you want to know. He says, I can get somebody to tell me about. And when he said, after he said that, he realized, you know, that of course he won the lawsuit, slander against his major newspaper. And but the thing was is that, you know, here was a guy who invented the automobile, okay, and not only invented it, but invented the assembly line, all right. Not only did that, but was able to create a billion-dollar corporation at the turn of the century, the 19th century, 20th century, and yet people were, you know, saying that he was an idiot. You know, that he was dumb, that he didn't know what he was talking
about.
He
was an idiot, but he had a plan.
He had a plan, damn it. He wasn't an idiot. The guy was a genius. And it was like, you know, it's like this is what bothers me so much about these think tanks or these academics that throw this mucky muck crap and theories and whatnot and discredit people like Sitchin's or discredit people like, I said, like Edison or, you know, Ford or whoever, you know, that people that, actually have come up with something, have translated, have understood, you know, have created, and, you know, and went far, far beyond anything that these academics, in quotes, could even comprehend. So, you know, for that, I give the guy a lot of credit, and I continue on the in pursuit of the Anunnaki.
Well, what do you give him credit for? For credit for what?
For breaking the code, for bringing it to the public attention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I give him credit for. And
well,
persistence in that area. I got to give the guy a lot of credit for that.
The academic world is strange, because what they do is they do leave out the emotional aspect of our thinking process, if you'd want to call it that.
Well,
and
only,
you know, there's two ways to reach an objective.
Not only the emotional aspect, but also the critical aspect, in the sense that, you know, these think tanks and these elites, academic elitists, all right, and what they do is they're paid to create a certain scenario. Okay, they're paid to come up with a certain thesis on something. Okay, not that it's right, not that it's that there's any real proof to it. All right, but they're paid mouthpieces by, you know, corporations and institutions and government institutions and everybody else who want some form of proof or thesis to prove their ideas or present
to justify their stance.
Yeah, and
yeah.
Even though their stance is totally ludicrous, like you know, the global warming concept. You know, you got 400,000 scientists who have signed a petition against the concepts, against the research on the global warming crisis. All right, and yet these people, 400,000. Okay, scientists have been ignored, okay, by maybe 40 scientists who are in with the Obama administration or in with the globalist concepts that, you know.
Well, what you're saying, it's a handful of people who really are controlling the masses.
That's
by persuasion.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's not many at all.
Yeah, and why is that, George? Why do these people have this kind of power? You know,
because we give it to them.
I know. And how do we give it to them? Why do we give it to them so easily?
Because you give them the energy that just by your attention. By attention, basically, you're feeding the energy that they put in motion, not that you put in motion. You're just following the motion yourself.
Yeah, I don't know about that, because they put it in, and then if you don't strike back or criticize them, then what happens is that they prevail, right?
No, but see, by criticizing, what you're doing, you're just feeding into it. You're adding fuel to the fire. You're expressing, you know, your wants. But here again, you know, you're not going anywhere. You know, it's not giving them the energy, not giving them the time, you know, to follow their. Power games.
George, I understand that completely, but it's not me, okay? It's like you're dealing with the mainstream media. Dealing with the government. You're dealing with powers far, far, vast, far beyond what my little tiny radio show can do.
No, but you see, you're dealing within the confines that they set before you, not your own confines. You can go way and above that, but you don't, because you have to stay within the norm. Otherwise, you'll be focused out, or you'll be singled out.
Not really. I think what you have to do is you have to identify what's happening, and then you go beyond the norm. Then you say, this is what's real. This is what's going on. This is what, you know, take this, okay? Don't believe this shit, okay? Believe this. And you know, you have, or think about this. But the problem, the real problem, George, is that so many people will not think. They do not want to think. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to think that they're being manipulated. They don't want to think that the skies above them are being polluted. They don't want to think about anything other than their day-to-day paycheck or their day-to-day problems. All right? They don't want to think about it. And I'll tell you the truth. One of the most inspiring factors that I've seen Okay, in the last few days is the Iranian protests, the Iranian revolution over there. I'm impressed with what's going on there. I mean, there are millions and millions of Iranians that are stepping out and defying their government and saying, fuck you, you know, to the Ayatollah Khomeini and all these other, and the Ahmadinejads and the false, elections. And we should have done that. God damn, we should have done that back in 2000 when Bush was elected and 2004 when he was reelected, because it was all voter fraud. But what I'm getting at is that people in this country, people in so many countries are just so goddamn indifferent, George. That,
they are.
Yeah, and it makes you sick. And anybody who has any kind of inkling of rebellion within them sees it. I had to laugh many years ago. In fact, I wrote an article about it. But back in, I think it was 2004, might have been even earlier than that, 2003 or so. A guy named Robert Novak, who used to be on CNN, Crossfire, he said that, he's a reporter, well-known conservative reporter, but he said that less than 100,000 people, less than 100,000 people were involved in creating the, were involved with the primaries or the electing of a presidential candidate, all right? And less than 100,000 people knew the names of all the candidates in the primaries, mm-hmm. all right? Less than 100,000 people out of 300 million, all right? And he says, this is exactly the problem with this country, but he says far more. He says, these are the people who elect them. He says, damn the election process. He says, those few ones, that 100,000 people in the media, all right, and in the political arena, he says, are the ones that actually decide who is going to be president or who is going to be the senator or who is going to be whatever, all right? And the rest, you know, be damned. Those votes don't mean shit, okay, because they decide who is going to be the boss, who is going to be president, all right? I mean, Tweedledee or Tweedledum, it doesn't matter to the electorate.
Well, Leo, what is that to you?
Well, what it is to me is that it makes me realize that I was one of the 100,000 people, because I could name all of the primary candidates as well as the people that I was talking about it regularly on my radio show.
Right.
And writing about it. So it made me realize that, okay, I was maybe one of the 100,000 people in the country that had any voice, and that might be true, all right? But at the same time, it made me realize what a pathetic system it was, mm-hmm. all right? What a horribly pathetic system it was, all right? That this minority of people, this 100,000 people, could dictate who will run, who will be the president of the United States, who will have who will decide the elections in the Congress and the Senate, all right? No more than 100,000 people out of 300 million, all right? And it's not only that. It's like it's that way in so many of the other countries as well. But you know, on an election day, everybody goes out, and not, you know, half the votes aren't even counted. Who the hell cares? Whoever is supposed to be the winner is the winner, and that was decided long ago, all right? So it's like, I guess what I'm getting at, George, is that, you know, the indifference of the American people as well as the indifference of other people around the world,
yes,
you know, it is a disgrace, and
it is a disgrace to who though, Leo?
And
you understand that the governments in the East are different than the governments in the West.
It's a disgrace to humanity, George.
No, I wouldn't say that, Leo. Because this way of government or way of life has been going on for thousands of years.
I mean,
so who are we to say that we have the better way and they should follow it?
Well, yeah, but I mean, the fact that you have a supreme commander, a supreme mullah, you know, and this guy, Khomeini, whatever his name, Ayatollah, all right?
Right.
You know, and he is the final say in everything that has to do with the country. Right?
Okay.
So why even bother having an election? I mean, this guy dictates.
Oh, no, yeah.
Yeah, this guy dictates the whole thing. In fact, he chose both parties, which was amazing. He chose both candidates, the two that were going to run, Ahmadinejad and the other
Who's character. To say that the Queen of England doesn't do the same thing?
Oh, they all do the same thing, George. It's like a big freaking joke.
So why come down in Iran right now?
They're starting to learn democracy. They're starting to learn that, you know, you got 50% of the Iranians are under 30, all right? 50% of the entire population of 60 million people are under 30 years old, all right? And they're just beginning to understand the power of democracy, the power of their individual voices, and how ludicrous, how absolutely insane, you know, the system is that would allow one mullah, if you will, or ayatollah, okay, to govern an entire 60 million people and tell them what's right and what's wrong. Okay, I mean, that's a crock of crap. It's like a pope, you know, who in the hell, you know, in their right freaking mind would ever consider, you know, the infallibility of the pope. I mean, you know, a pedophile, you know, a former former Hitler youth. I mean, this guy's infallible. What the hell? All right, now, you know, some towel head. Okay, and Iran is going to dictate, you know, to the world or to his country what's right and what's wrong and who to be.
Oh, he can do that. That's what they do.
I mean, what the hell? It's a joke, George.
Well, it's a joke, yeah, but he has people that follow him that believe and believe in him.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, that's the way it's been for a long, long time, and it will continue to be that way.
George, they're idiots.
Yeah, yes, but Leo, you got to accept them for who and what they are right now.
Imbeciles, you know, they're imbeciles. I mean,
yes, but instead of getting angry and frustrated within yourself, look at the overall, the bigger picture that's being played out here.
It's out of his freaking mind.
All right. Maybe you're right, but understand that, you know, we're not pure white in this also. Understand that we have been manipulating politics in Iran for 30, 40 years.
Oh,
and, you know, I want to go back to the show of Iran. And, of course, all the powers over there at the time. You know, the intelligence agencies that we have set up, you know, have instigated a lot of politics over there, and they have and they will continue. And that basically is what's being played out.
But
now, with the elections and so forth in Iran, it's caught my attention on news. I mean, how not can it? You know, but understand that there's a power struggle going on here. And they also, I believe they recalled the British embassy, called back their ambassador because of some name flying that was flying in the wind there. So apparently the religious Celtic there is condemning Britain for their involvement. So
Britain as always is involved in any all coups and everything in having to do with the Middle East. Britain has got its fingerprints all over.
I'm kind of afraid for our country at this point, because we got troops over there in Iran. We're fighting a war. And we also have troops in Afghanistan. And for whatever reasons be, our military is dug in the Middle East. And with the pressures that's been coming on, you know, it doesn't surprise me where we have a battlefront that we've been fighting and will continue to fight in the Middle East. And, you know, I would have to say it crude oil is one example of the power struggle that's being played out. But I'm also what the hell is going on over there in the Pacific, and with Japan, with China, with Korea. You know, there's a lot of actions, a lot of things that are happening around the world.
As far as North Korea is concerned, I'm sorry, caller, I just missed you. I was going to put you on there. We had a caller here, but he hung up. But as far as Japan and as far as North Korea, I mean, North Korea is an absolute joke. I mean,
well, no, Leo, it's not. You have to take a look at the bigger picture and what's being played out here.
North Korea is a joke. It's
Leo, it is not.
It is.
Because there's a power to be reckoned with.
It's not a
power. And it's part of the Orient power, the powers that come from that side of the world.
It's not, though. There's no way. I mean, this is not a power to be working with. This is a power, a pissant power with a pissant dictator, okay, who thinks he can play nuclear, be a nuclear power. I mean, this guy is a joke, Kim Jong-il, okay? I mean, his entire country is starving to death, okay? I mean, it's just an absolute ridiculous joke that this guy is doing. And the fact that we even see this guy as any kind of threat whatsoever is a joke, all right? And he's not a threat. He's a lunatic, okay? I mean, Saddam Hussein was less of a lunatic than Kim Jong-il, all right? And we wound up taking this guy out. So it's like, you know, to me, we kind of got off the subject of what I want.
Well, no, I want to come back to the Anunnaki, but I want to finish the thought out if I can, because
I believe because based on what happened in the Anunnaki, who wind up wiping themselves out in nuclear war, all right, we're doing the same thing as their ancestors. Okay, if we are their ancestors, you know, we're in that same warp. Thought warp, if you will, of animosity toward each other, and I agree. I mean, I don't know. To me, maybe I'm totally dead wrong on this. I could be, George.
Well, I'm Leo. I'm just taking the national events that are going on right now, this week, last week, and putting things in motion and see what the hell is going on here.
Yeah.
You know, these are small. There's small movements going around, but they're correlating. You know, I don't want to get into name calling. I think with the Orient, because understand, it is a power to be reckoned with, and it has been for years, and it will continue to be. But right now, with our economy the way it is, understand that after World War II, we made agreements with the with Japan. What we agreed with them is that, you know, they would design and make goods and sell them to us, would come to us, and in return we would give them American dollars. So understand that
military protection.
Excuse me.
We also neutered them.
Yes. All right. Well, let me continue here. What they were able to do also is build an industry, starting with cars and so forth. And understand Korea, that was a separate power within itself. But what they did do is they started building ships and so forth, machinery. And that's where they got their name from. You take a look at the Hyundai motor cars. 30 years ago they had two models. Now they have, a Kia, excuse me. Or going back 12, 15 years, they had two models. But now they have something like 12 or 13 of them. And, you know, what's happening is that they're selling them to America. And what they're doing is they're getting the money. Now, the money that the Japanese have, what they have done, is that they've invested in China. So really what they did is they took their American dollars and they invested it in industry in China and built up China. Now, the trade agreements the Chinese have is they sell the goods to the West as part of the agreement with the Japanese. We get the goods, but in the remedies that we give, what they did is not buy our industries. I mean, besides tapping into our industries and buying them out, they invested in government. So take a look at the amount of monies that the Chinese now invested in treasury notes. And that is scary because, you know, if they ever call those notes in, we would be in a world of shit. And it wouldn't surprise me if a power struggle like this, you know, I'm combining China with Korea because, understand, they were allies during the Korean provocation there. And they have been and they always will be. And I think the one problem that's on their mind right now is the nationalist and breaking away from the Hong Kong money connection with Britain a few years ago has put a hamper, I think, in power. So, you know, there's a power play going on, and what scares me is even though these missiles that North Koreans are shooting up may be, you know, just one big show that's going on, but the Americans, what they're doing now is they're popping up their missile defense in Hawaiian Islands, in our bases there. So if nothing else, the military have to protect themselves, and they will, like they're doing over in the Middle East. They're trying to hold on to what they have, but they also have the Pacific to focus on. And
right now,
there's a lot of tensions that are building up. But if nothing else, they're taking the pressure off the Middle East because there's a whole world of shit going on there.
Always had that, George. They've always
I know that, Leo.
The military in Hawaii.
All happened at once.
Always had it in the Philippines. They've had it everywhere. And it's like, you know, and this is just another big, big hoax, you know, as far as I'm concerned. Because, I mean, the North Vietnamese, not Vietnam, the North Koreans are a joke. It's a joke country. It's a joke nation. It's a joke people. All right, next to any other industrialized nation. All this guy is doing is a freaking joker who's trying to get attention. All right,
yeah.
Drop one. All they got to do, all they have to do, is go in and swipe that goddamn country and all their nuclear facilities and all their military facilities out. They wouldn't do anything. They'd be totally devastated. They'd be done. They'd be cooked. Okay.
I don't think China would like that, Leo.
China doesn't give a shit. The last thing they want is a nuclear North Korea, okay? Why would they want that, all right? Why would they want an idiot like Kim Jong-il?
Yeah,
right?
But understand it, it's a brotherhood.
Totally insane.
It's
right?
A race of people that are different than the Caucasian race.
Doesn't matter, George.
Okay. No, it does matter, Leo. It does matter.
No, it doesn't because, all right, I mean, that guy could aim his weapon. I mean, Japan is terrified of what this son of a bitch is trying to do, all right? They've already put complete and utter complete sanctions on North Korea, everything, nothing. They're not buying anything from them, and their Navy is stopping everything that's going anywhere near North Korea, all right? And they're petrified because these sons of bitches were targeting Japan. They were flying these missiles over Japan, over Japan's airspace,
yeah.
Right? So what I'm saying, George, is that there will be, okay, a day very soon when the United States won't put up with this shit anymore, all right? We've got 50,000 men in South Korea now. We've got missiles and everything else aimed at North Korea, all right? Within, I will guarantee you, within a month, maybe 2 months, there'll be an all-out attack on North Korea. It'll wipe out their nuclear weapons, wipe out their entire military, and there'll be 300 starving, 300 whatever, 3 million or 30 million starving North Koreans will be looking to the UN for food handouts, okay, within the next 6 months. So it's like I don't see North Korea as any kind of threat whatsoever, all right? But what I do see is a threat, George. What I do see as a threat is the indifference of the people in this country and in all these other countries who are allowing themselves to be basically hemmed in, allowing themselves to be governed by these theologies and by these theocracies and by these leaders who are. Are just that. I mean, they're just straw men. You know, like the Ayatollah Khomeini and the Kim Jong-il and these other puppet boys, right? And Obama himself. I mean, Obama is governed by the Wall Street and the bankers. So it's like we really. I mean, I have to respect 1 million, 2 million, 3 million Iranians who are standing up and protesting their government's fraudulent elections and the bogus theocratic governing of supreme governor of their country. Frank them. I mean, we wouldn't put up with that kind of shit here, right?
Yeah, but we're here and they're there. What gives us the right to dictate how they should do it?
I don't have to dictate, but I mean,
yes, you are. That's what you're saying, Leo.
Well, I'm not saying we have to dictate, but if you got a son of a bitch, somebody who's targeting Hawaii, okay, or planning to throw some kind of missile at us, wipe the bastard off the face of the earth.
You don't want to do that. Come on.
What the hell? He's a nuisance to the world. He's a nothing. He's a piece of shit. Get the guy. Get rid of the guy. He's useless. Why do they tolerate these kind of people on, Why? They don't have
Because people pay them to do that, Leo. That's the way it is.
There you go. People pay them to tolerate.
That's right. So that's what makes the world go round.
I mean, it's just
changing.
I mean, the reality is you can change these realities overnight, but what it is getting people all excited about North Korea and Iran.
How do you change them overnight,
George?
How do you change them overnight?
Do you remember the
No, answer. How do you change them overnight?
Do you remember shock and awe? Remember the shock and awe of the Iraq invasion in 2003?
Right.
In one night, the entire world was changed. Okay, by Bush's stupid interjections, stupid policies. Okay, to go in and blow up Baghdad.
Okay.
Okay. The entire world political scene was changed.
Okay.
Forever with our preemptive policies of preemptive invasions. All right. We can do that, George. Things can change overnight.
That can happen, is what you're saying, right? You can change overnight.
We can. We have.
All right.
We have changed overnight. I mean, the world.
You want to know another way to change overnight?
What?
What you do is that before you go to bed, you put it to sleep and say goodbye. I don't want it in my life anymore. And the next morning, you wake up and you don't give it another bit of thought. You change it overnight, but you're focusing in on enjoying to you, whatever that is. But what you got to do is just work it out of your life.
But you know, if you cut off your toe the night before, all right, and you say, "Gee, that didn't really happen," all right, and you go to bed and you bandage your toe up, and you still wake up the next morning with your toe in a bandage and hurting like hell, you did. You can't deny that you hurt your toe or that you cut off your big toe. It's still, it's still there. No matter how much you want to ignore what these threats to our existence, all right, they're still there, all right.
And I disagree with you on that, Leo.
Threats is to get rid of these threats, all right, no matter what they are, all right.
I'm saying the same thing. You're getting rid of this threat by just erasing it from your life.
It's not going to happen from your life.
What do you
life?
Mean it's not going to happen? It is going to happen, but you got to do it. It's the intent that you put into it.
Look, regardless of what I do, if I'm driving down the road and some guy charges into my car, all right, my car is destroyed, right? And I'm saying, well, gee, I'll ignore it, and that didn't really happen. And I'll wake up tomorrow morning and I won't be in the hospital. Instead, my car will be perfect, and I'll be perfect, and everything else will be perfect, and it never really happened. That ain't the truth. What's going to happen is that you ride down the road, you see some asshole coming at you who's drunk, all right, or something, and he's coming at you and won't swerve off the road. Okay, you have to swerve. And if you see that guy, you call 911, tell the cops that you got a drunken asshole on the road. Give him his driver's license, or rather his marker number, and hope he gets picked up. All right, that's what happens, and that's reality.
Yes, Leo, that doesn't happen every time.
You'd want to believe it or not.
No. Now look at it. It's a probability. The probability is that it could happen. And there's a 50% chance that it won't happen or it won't end up that way. So I'm saying, there are other options open for you to experience. And who's to say the only way is a bad experience, which is wrong.
Yeah.
It's a matter of how you look at it. Like I said, there would be another way by just eliminating it from your life, and you wouldn't be hampered by the problem or disease or the pressure of it.
That's true.
That's the option that you have. And understand, the probability is 50% one way or the other, good and or bad. So
yeah.
It's not always going to end up in a fatal situation.
Well, I want to believe you, George, and I do believe you. In some ways,
Leo, you have to look at it for the logic with what I'm saying. It's not something believing. I mean, if you know logic and understand percentages, you know, it could happen. Either two things could happen. Either it will manifest or it won't manifest. There's no in between. It's like you're pregnant or you're not pregnant. Period.
No, but you can prevent it from happening, or you can.
But we're not talking about preventing. We're talking about experiencing it, good or bad. There's no prevention, because prevention basically is just setting yourself up for it.
I don't know.
That's still feeding into it.
I don't know about that, George. I have car insurance on my car. Okay, I haven't had an accident in many years, but I'm entitled. I have to, by law, have car insurance. Now, Lila just got in an accident today.
I hope she's okay. Yeah, was she hurt?
No, she's fine.
Good.
Lady backed into her car, all right? And woman backed into her car. She had a Ford Escort, Escape, one of the big SUVs. And she backed right into it. And the asshole lady she tried to run off, all right, after she did that. And Lila... got her number, stopped her, and said, you just backed into my car and you smashed the rear end of my car, all right?
Yeah.
And this lady wanted to run off, she stopped her and she got the information and the blah, 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 you know, everything that was supposed to happen. And, so she got a $2,000 estimate on the damage of the car and insurance company, and, that was that. But, this bitch wanted to run off, okay? Tried to run away from her, all right, in her car. Now, you got to tell me, was Lila wrong in grabbing that woman and insisting that he should get all that information?
No.
Or if she would have ignored it, would the dent in her car be there tomorrow if she had ignored the whole thing? No. All right, she acted swiftly, she acted right. She got her number, she got her name, she got everything, and she insisted on her, and she wouldn't let her move unless she got that information.
Mm-hmm. Well.
And that was it. But that's Lila.
Now, what about the person that hit her now? What are the options that she had to work with?
What option did she have? It was either that or let the woman run off with her and evade responsibility.
No. Well, apparently the woman couldn't take responsibility for it, and she wanted to get away.
That's
but
right.
Maybe it's just ingrained in the way her lifestyle is that, if you're lucky, you can get away with things, but you just got to be smart about it. And like I said, the percentages that caught up with her. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. She got caught this time, so she's going to have to pay the piper.
That's right. Still, there was a consequence, and the consequence was definitely to the victim in that situation, okay? And the victim was Lila, all right? Now, had she either gotten the person to stop and gotten the person's information or let her go, she would have been the victim. Now she's the victim, but she's being reimbursed for that, and justice is being served. But at the same time, what I'm trying to say is that this is the same thing. Regardless of what happens, George, reality is reality, and it comes to you. I mean, you're going to pay one way or the other for it, whether you pay it now or pay it later. But, most people wind up trying to avoid it and pay it later. Well, this is the same thing that's happening with North Korea or Iran or whatever. I mean, if we ignore this situation and we ignore these people, all right, we will wind up, being the victims here. And
well, the victims of what if we ignore them?
Whatever comes their way. So I got Anthony on the line. Do you want to talk to Anthony?
How are you doing, Anthony?
Hang on a second.
Just fine, George, Leo, Lila.
Anthony?
Just getting back from the gym.
Yeah, Lila's not with us tonight. She had a union meeting she had to go to. Should have gotten out of it by now, but she's probably on her way home. But,
we wanted to focus in on the Anunnaki a bit tonight, but I think with the world news, we've been talking about the things that are being played out and, feelings and, how you deal with some of this.
world events, as in, because, you know, there's a lot going on. The moon's flying around the Earth and the sun, and the Earth is flying around the sun. I mean, there's lots of events going on.
No, we were talking about North Korea. We were talking about the Iranian protests. We were talking about, what's happening right now. And we were talking about, George believes that we should ignore that in our own life. And
ignore it in a sense, but by working with it or feeding into it, what we're doing is we're bringing the fire within, and we're actually feeding the fire. So what I'm saying, instead of feeding the fire, try to sit back and let the fire go out by itself instead of giving it any more fuel to work with.
Well, I think that's true, but at the same time, it's not so much fuel that we're feeding it here, talking about it. It's just deciding as an individual and an opinion maker, if you will, what's right and wrong. I mean, I believe that that they should, I believe, and what I told you is that the reality here is that these countries are a menace. There's no question they are a menace to us. Okay, nor we are a menace to them as well, but. In the case of North Korea, if they do fire a long-range ballistic missile, I mean, we could knock it out of the sky immediately. But I believe we should go after North Korea, okay, wipe them out, okay, just like we did, wipe out their military ability, and reduce them to what they are, which is a bullshit country. Okay?
Only old.
No.
You don't believe that, do you?
Nah, North Korea is a bullshit country. It's a joke.
What have they done to you, Leo, personally?
No, they've done nothing to me. But the
all
fact
right, Korean people are beautiful people. They're fine people. So, they're no different than us.
Korean people, I love them. Oh, I kiss them. I love them.
All right, then, maybe talk about their leaders. I mean, chastise their leaders, but not the people themselves. They're just trying to make a buck and live and enjoy life like you are.
Wait a minute. You got 3 million of them. 3 million of them in their army, okay?
So?
And are walking lockstep to whatever this guy says.
Oh, hey, look at maybe it's the only equal opportunity available to him over there, and the government pays him and gives him clean sheets and food. There's nothing wrong with that.
What I say, George, is that you go in and you wipe them out like you did. You wipe out their military ability, all right. And then what do you got? You got nothing, all right. You got a country that's on its knees, basically, all right.
Well, we did that with Iran or Iraq. First of all, Iraq war.
You'd never have another problem with North Korea. That would be it. That'd be the end of it. Right? honestly. So Iran, let it develop itself. It looks like it's on its way. It looks like it's, 2 or 3 million people in the streets right now is phenomenal. Okay. The Ayatollah Khomeini there is going to fall. I mean, the whole regime is about ready to topple. And you're gonna see it happen. It's just ripe and ready for it. And it's an evolutionary thing. I mean, it's what's gonna happen. But what I'm trying to say basically is that we can't ignore the reality there. We can't ignore what's happening, and we can't ignore threats to our
no.
country as well.
No.
And just by saying it doesn't exist, it does exist. And I'm essentially a pacifist. I'm essentially a guy who doesn't believe in war. But God damn it, George, if you're being threatened, okay, as a country, as you're being threatened then you have the right to defend yourself. You have the right.
You do. Yes.
You have absolute necessity. All right, to try to defer that anger or that resentment toward you or toward your country. All right, as it's normal, it's self-defense. What George Bush did in his preemptive strikes and crap, that was a crock of crap. That was wrong. It was wrong. But by defending ourselves in areas that are critical, that's right. I mean, self-defense is the right of any country or any individual, and I think that's where it stands.
Yeah.
You got a pissant country. Who wants to? He wants to flex some their muscle, all right, by throwing a lopsided missile at us, all right? Wipe them out. I mean, they could easily wipe out North South Korea. They could easily throw a nuke or a couple of missiles at South Korea, they could, or Taiwan or Japan or anything. So they're definitely a threat in that area where we have allies. So by rights, we should be in there defending them and go in and wipe their military ability out. I think that's only right. I mean, we have the power to do it. We should do it.
Yeah.
And our allies expect us to do it. So I don't think there's anything wrong with
that. Well, maybe.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. But,
there are other ways to deal with world events, and I think at this point everybody's afraid to believe that it could happen. And there are peaceful ways, and right now it's just trying to implement whatever we can, if nothing else, with some good thoughts. You know, it could possibly swing it around.
Yeah, I agree.
Think positive, Leo.
Think positively. But by God, I'm not going to. I don't believe that we have to fall asleep and allow ourselves to either be attacked or be intimidated or be anything. I mean, you know, the kind of money that this country spends around the world, in foreign aid and everything else. I mean, we prop up the damn world.
But Leo, I don't have time to think about worldly things that are going on like that. I'm only concerned with what's going on in my life, the people in my life, and I'm trying to keep it simple, and I have kept it simple.
No,
the problem is
true, but at the same time,
by extending myself to these worldly problems, I can't do anything about other than pray for peace and love and some kind of a community connectiveness, you know.
I agree. We hope then there's some kind of a unity consciousness. And what inspires me about this Iranian issue is that there seems to be a unique outpouring to the West from the Middle Eastern youth, especially because in Iran, 50% of their population is under 30, all right? And there is this struggle. All right, and this outreach toward us to support them in their struggles toward freedom, all right, and unity consciousness. I believe there is a unity consciousness that's developing here, and we have to be very, very aware of that. But at the same time, people that are those countries that are trying with their best to destroy us or to destroy that element of freedom of thought. And the United States is no better in many ways. I mean, their censorship of the media, their censorship of many things is wrong. But what I'm trying to say is there is definitely a movement out there. There is an underswell now that I don't think is going to stop. And I think it's all part of this 2011-2012 scenario that people are starting to unite and see each other as brothers. And see each other as sisters, the Iranian struggle is real, and whatever happens there will affect the world.
Well, Leo, I brought up China to show the understanding of the sixth day that we're going through right now,
right.
And what you're saying is a time where we're clashing, but we're coming together. And that's what is happening right now.
Right.
But understand that the arrangements that we've had for years is not valid any longer. It's got to change. So if nothing else, things are put in motion, for that change to take place.
You know what makes me laugh? Really makes me laugh is that, the entire economic system, world system, the United States system, is a joke. It's based on nothing. There's no money there. It's based on paper.
But we do a hell of a good job with it, though. It's a one big illusion.
Exactly. We do a great job with it. We convinced everybody in the world that we're buying their stuff, and we're paying them nothing for it. Okay?
Anthony, are you still with us?
It's a joke. But the thing is
oh, yeah. I'm just listening, and as you're speaking, it kind of reminds me of kind of like the evolution of man, Leo. You as a person weren't born, knowing how important your thoughts are on the reality around you. You know, it was a process that took many, many years to manifest. It's the same thing with societies and nations as a whole. And it kind of, from the perspective, I really wanted to ask you, George, because you're the expert on this, but from the perspective of the time frame that we're in now, how, you know, how is it, and where or how can we, as not just a world, but as a society, come to understand the importance of our consciousness on our world, you know, and how can we get that reflected in the governance of the people?
Well, I first of all, everybody is seeing the illusion for what it is, or they're seeing behind the curtain actually what's being played out. You know, we're talking about politics in the Middle East and the armies and so forth, but understand, it's one big illusion that's being played out, power. So, you know, it's seeing the power for what it is and actually going along with it, or, you know, feeding it or giving it energy or power, or, you know, just dropping it from their needs.
Well, that's exactly what's happening in Iran, where these people are starting to see. I mean, these young people that are protesting out there, the middle class people in Iran, see that this religious leader is a joke.
But the power, right, the people are awakening to their own power individually, and that's the point, you know, and that awakening process that's happening on the individual level has yet to manifest in society and in the world, you know? And it's, I think it's going to take time, but it's not going to take much time, George, because we are moving light speed.
Oh, absolutely.
You're right.
Absolutely, you're right. We're moving so fast. And this stuff is all happening now that took, I don't know, a millennium to create is now at its crest. And we're starting to see this in Iran. We're starting to see it in our own country here. It's going to be amazing. It's just going to be amazing.
It's amazing now to see what's going on. You know, this is, we're going beyond...
I can't believe what we're going to see in the next 6 to 8 months. It's just phenomenal, you know.
Right, as people awaken to their own power to create their own realities, these systems are going to begin to crumble, already. They are crumbling. They are crumbling. And my question to you, George, is how can we really help to create value, the best value for humanity as we move from point A to point B?
The best value?
Yes.
Truth and integrity.
Well, I think the truth, you said it right there, is living a truthful life and refocusing on your intent in life, what you want out of life. And it's through that intent that you're going to draw that life to you. It's like one big illusion that's going on. You're seeing the illusion for what it is, but now you have a chance to change that illusion into an illusion that is more in line with your intent and what you want out of life.
But it becomes more of an individual manifestation or individual illusion.
Well, you see, it's not something linear that you could put in motion. You know, it's like saving for a vacation. You know, you put $10 a week or whatever away, and over a period of time, you'll have that money. Now, instead of having to go through this procedure or programming, as we've been taught, we could feel it. And just feeling the emotions or the feeling of your original intent, you'll manifest that without having to go through the logic and the rigmarole of linear programming.
Right.
But you can believe something instead of having to wait for it to manifest in front of you before you will acknowledge that it is happening.
I just want to mention before we end, we got about 35 seconds remaining to the live stream here. So anybody who'd like to join our conversation, please call 646-915-9505. Be happy to put you on. You can listen to the rest of the show. Again, that's 646-915-9505. We'll be losing our stream in about 19 seconds. So, okay. Sorry, George. Keep going.
Anthony?
Yes.
Anthony, you know, when I was a kid, I didn't have a lot of money, but, you know, I like nice things. I like nice clothes. And I remember that I was picturing myself with nice clothes and a girl and everything else an adolescent child would think of, you know. But, you know, not having the money, I knew that somewhere along the line I'll get that. But the first thing I was able to get was a pair of shoes. And yet it was the wardrobe or my infatuation manifested itself. And I didn't have to wait for the rest of the clothes to come because I know they would follow. And sure enough, they did follow. But it's the belief and understanding, even though the shoes were only part of the picture, but the picture consisted of those shoes and much more to come. So, you know, it's just a matter of waiting, and it finally filled itself. But it's living on the premise of the emotions, of the feelings, of what you want in the end results. You know, it's like... there are many timelines that we could take, and the end result, you know, is the ultimate, or let's say heaven, you know, in a religious belief. But understand that heaven is here now. It's a matter of accepting it or seeing it for what it is. And, you know, it's it's believing that heaven is there, that you'll experience the heaven.
You know what? This kind of reminds me of all this discord and whatnot that's going on around the world as people awaken to the greatness, not within themselves, but there's, you know, like when we're born to this world, we have this body, you know, and this body, as we know, is just that vessel that animates the higher spirit, you know, but we forget about that. And even as a society and as countries, you know, collective countries, you know, we all forget that we're just these. It's kind of like the divers, you know, that scuba diver underneath the water, you know, you need that suit to maintain that, you know, to maintain yourself underwater. And people start to think that they're just the scuba diving suit instead of the scuba diver, you know.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what's going on on a global scale. Everybody's thinking that they're the scuba diving suit, but they're slowly awakening to the fact that they're the scuba divers and beginning to move with their own energy and starting to really understand that they have the freedom, you know, the freedom to choose, you know, their own destinies in this lifetime, you know, in this lifetime. So.
I agree with you. I think you're really you're right on that. I think people are beginning to see, and unfortunately not enough yet, but they're starting.
They're beginning to see, but they're beginning to live that because
they're
waiting for the promises and they're putting one step in front of the other.
Right.
And a lot of people are being forced into that. You take a look at all the layoffs and people losing their jobs. These people still have to live and enjoy life, and they do, but, you know, on a different scale. So they've been able to adapt. Instead of waiting for it to come to them, they've gone out and found some of those replacements.
That's right. I mean, you know, when you're forced to, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you're living your life, you're living that American dream, you're paying your credit card bills on time, you're paying your mortgage, you're paying your car note, all these things that you think are providing you happiness, and then all of a sudden, because of no fault of your own, all of a sudden the rug is yanked from underneath your feet, and you're not able to provide for those quote-unquote happy things that are bringing happiness to you. You really awaken to the fact that you didn't need them in the first place to really be happy, and you set your values and you set your sights on greater things. You know, it's almost you almost get comfortable in the fact that you really don't even have to pay these things back. There's no debtor's jail.
You're right there, because things are changing. That they don't have the power that they had before. The credit card companies now are accepting 50% of the dollar, and even less than that, just to get the money. So, you know, understand that, you know, they're having a change of mode right now. So it's because of the reaction people are giving them. They're not paying them.
But you know, the thing that people still don't understand, and I hope that they do eventually, is that these banks created that money out of nowhere.
That's right.
Exactly.
Out of nowhere, they lent you money that that didn't even exist. Okay.
Nothing from nothing leaves nothing.
There you go. And as far as I'm concerned, I mean, the debt that we owe to China, the debt that we owe to Germany, the debt that we owe to anybody, screw them, right? I mean, screw them, right? We're if we can't afford to pay it, you know, we file bankruptcy, right? And, you know, they'll take a nickel on the dollar, all right? And that's the way it's going to be. I mean, Obama's no fool. Obama knows that if you know that we have unlimited amounts of credit, unlimited amounts of money. He knows that. I mean, we're making this stuff up, right?
Well, we are making this stuff up. Just like understand, the government can't go bankrupt. It's already in bankrupt.
Yeah. So what the hell? So, $1 trillion, $10 trillion, $100 trillion. It's all the same. But if you can get everybody insured in this country, everybody in a house, everybody in a car, everybody happy and eating well, you know, who the hell cares? Okay, if the Chinese are buying our bonds or whoever the hell else. I mean, it's a joke. It's an absolute, complete joke. And the guys who are eating this joke, okay, are the people that are buying our debt. All right. I mean, they're allowing us to continue and bail out the banks and bail out the General Motors and have complete health care for everybody and have a wonderful utopian world. Screw them. We don't have to pay that back. You know, we don't. And they know it. But they're just afraid that if we stop paying them, all right, then their companies will, their countries will go into the tubes as well. Okay.
The only thing that's real is the energy of the exchange. The energy of the exchange of my labor, your labor, my ideas, your ideas. That's what's real. That is what is real. The energy of the life. You know, and yes, money does have its own energy. It really does. But it's an energy that is not dollars and cents.
But you know, Hitler was the first guy. Okay, to come up with a way of working, of creating his, the, he became the Germany became the wealthiest country in the world during the 40s and 30, late 30s, early 40s, and the reason he did it is he did it without money, all right? He did it on labor exchange, it was called. Okay.
That's right.
And labor exchange certificates that were created later.
And
right?
Ideas.
Yeah, but it was labor that was produced, and they got certificates for their labor and so on and so forth, but it had nothing to do with the monetary system. What happened was everything they banked on was on labor, okay? They produced, and people that produced got money. They got labor exchange certificates, they called it. And what happened is it created... they created a vast amount of wealth for that country without any kind of national currency. All right.
That's because they tapped into the real energy.
That's right.
Not the dollars and the cents.
Exactly, exactly. They tapped in the Nazis. What they did is they tapped into the real energy, which is productivity, which is the creation of goods and services and so on. And that's what they did. And
gentlemen,
within a matter of less than 10 years, the wealthiest country in the world, from the poorest country after World War I to the wealthiest country, okay, in the world. And that's why the banking system and all of the rest of the world had to go after them, basically, was because they were going to destroy the banking system around the globalist banking system, all right? Everything in the world, all the world powers had to go against them, and they brought up, oh yeah, the Holocaust and this and that. Well, you know, it's debatable whether that was the only reason to go after them. The reason was they were a huge, their economic and social system was beginning to spread. It went to Japan, and then it went to in Italy, and it was taking over all of Europe. So, I don't know. We are, like you said, Anthony, tapping into the real monetary base, which is the energy of the people, the creativity of the people, you know. And that's what we have to understand to be our monetary system.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead. Sure, Josh.
Okay, gentlemen. You have nothing out, so, you know, I wasn't really planning on talking politics tonight, but, you know, we did talk about politics and I think the world events, but understand this is what we are to experience during the sixth day, because it's at a point where it can't be fixed any longer. We've tried to put band-aids on this for years, but there's no way it can be saved, and it's got to fall and crumble, which it is, and that's part of the experience that we're having during this sixth day, because during the sixth night, it's going to be an altogether different scenario. We're not going to have the energies, or we're not going to have the power and the wealth that we have during this time right now. And this time is coming to a close very quick.
Yeah.
So, if nothing, this is what is to be expected. The whole thing is collapsing.
Yeah, we have to prepare for that and understand.
We don't have time to prepare, Leo. We're in it right now. I mean, the walls are crumbling as we speak. So it's a matter of just stepping clear of the downfall, you know, from getting hurt and standing clear of the debris.
Oh,
and that's the only way we're going to be able to survive. And I don't think we'll have a problem in doing that, but, you know, it's just a different lifestyle that we're not used to, that we're being forced into. We're forcing ourselves into this because what we're doing is we're forcing ourselves away from the old monotony of lifestyle we followed has led us, and this is three-dimensional realities.
That's true, George. That's very true.
You know, I would love to talk about the Anunnaki because I think we swayed from that, but I will say that when we started here, Leo, there is a lot of controversy, you know, behind the Anunnaki and the belief systems and Zechariah Sitchin's, you know, from the academic world. But understand that if you listen to all the stories are telling the same story, and it's recycling itself. It's just different characters that are being involved.
Right.
You know, the Hindus have the Veda, and, you know, we have the Old Testament. We have the Sumerian texts about the Anunnaki. But, you know, it's how an academic person would look at this, you know, from an Eastern view or from a Western view. And if you don't see it through their eyes, you know, it doesn't exist. But it does exist, and it tells the same stories. And, you know, maybe next week we can concentrate on understanding the basis of the Anunnaki and how they came here and with Nibiru, and, you know, the possibilities of that thing coming back very soon. And, you know, I think the lineal connection we have with them and with the rest of the planets in our solar system.
I think that's a good idea, George. I would like to continue that discussion. And,
you know, it's our views and how we deal with this illusion, Leo, that put us in this six-day situation by going through the fifth day and night with the polarities of the good and bad. We know the good, we know the bad, and what's happened is that the less fortunate has exposed itself for what it is, and now you just can't, wipe it away, you know, and just or just wish it away. Really, we have to wash it away and start anew, and that's what we're going through.
And we really have to recognize that, you know, what's going on there in Iran and what's going on in South Korea and basically what's going on all over our wonderful planet is a great awakening. And people are awakening with their hearts, you know, you've really got to think it is for the better because people are sick and tired of being sick and tired and they want to be awake. They really, really do. But I think you're right, George, when you mentioned a few shows back, that as they awaken, it's kind of like from the perspective of compassion. You know, you're not going to walk into the bedroom and just bang on a drum and awaken your baby. You're going to pick them up with love and embrace them and then slowly, you know, bring them up. And that's what's happening with our higher the higher energy of not just the collective self, but the collective the collective consciousness. But the collective, George, the collective self is much quicker, and that's why it's a little slower for the countries and societies to awaken.
You're right on the money, Anthony. Right on the money with that. Yeah. But, you know, it's with the Korean people, Leo, you know, you can't kill them all. They're just people.
Oh,
and it's the humility, you know, accept them for what they are.
They're nothing, all right? And you knock out their military ability, and that's what you got to do. I mean, that's it, all right? I mean, you don't have to kill the North Korean people. All you got to do is knock out their military abilities, and it's done.
Well, you know,
people just want to be happy.
With a war, Iraq. I mean, geez, there are over 100,000 civilians that were killed. You know, mothers, children, and you know, it was appalling. So, but there are other ways to deal with these disbeliefs that we have instead of killing people. And you know, just like the North Koreans, you know, there may be some evil North Koreans, but you know, they're people too. And look at him without sin, throw the first stone, you know?
You know, George, what would be interesting is to see how, you know, this energy that's going on in Iran, how it relates to the sixth day and the Anunnaki, because, I mean, as I can recall, that whole Middle Eastern area, Iran, Iraq, is the cradle for the Anunnaki, isn't it?
Oh, yes, yes, yeah.
And so it's kind of funny how this transformation and this revolution of human consciousness is right now focused at this point in time right there in the cradle of civilization.
There you go. And the powers that have always been with the Anunnaki, you had Enlil, who had his nuclear weapons right there in Baghdad. That was his home port. So, you know, strategically, that real estate is very, very valuable, you know, to any and all powers.
Yeah, it is, and unfortunately, that's where the action is right now. But yeah, I don't know. I agree with you, Anthony. I think we're on the verge of this happening, and I'm hoping that everybody wakes up before we blow each other to smithereens.
Well, I'm praying.
No, we won't.
Well,
we're not going to. We're not to. I don't see anything else but rainbows and butterflies. It's going to happen for the better of humanity. I already see it, George, Leo. I already see it. It's just a matter of time now.
You don't have to have 3 or 4 million people partake in this.
Correct.
All you need is a few people with good prayer and good feelings. That's all it takes. Prayer can move mountains, and you don't need a lot of people.
No, you
I do
don't.
Believe, you know, there are a lot of things that could happen in this world that are being held back by the prayer of the good people who wish it good. And things are changing.
Well, I want to see rainbows and butterflies, and I want that to be the way that this story ends. But, you know, again, I am a realist in the sense that it won't be that way unless we're careful.
Anthony?
Yes?
There's a deity, Morisuasu, that the Japanese give homage to. And basically, she's worshipped as Mother Earth, an actual energy force. And yet, you know, what gives me good feeling is this Mother Hoasu has released, I think, the energy, the feminine energy. And it's a replenishing energy that any and all people can attach to, as let's say a person in the Roman Catholic faith would pray, let's say, to the Virgin Mary, and it's through the compassion of life, you know, that gives freedom, but also it will manifest whatever thoughts or whatever prayers that you send out, and here you have the internal power of not only the God. But also of nature, of Mother Earth. And I do believe that, you know, it was foretold on things to come of some of the help that we would receive during these times.
And that's right.
Out, it, with Mother Hoasu as a power behind or a support behind, I don't think we can go wrong, because this earth will take care of itself in one way or the other. And these small skirmishes on the surface, you know, it has more power over that than we think we have.
That's right. It's the strength. It's the resonance of the planet. It's the resonance of our planet, and it's that it really does resonate at the vibration of absolute compassion and absolute love. And when you hold that resonance within yourself, you're holding the resonance of the Mother Earth. And there's no power, no skirmish. It literally binds those negative energies so they cannot manifest and destroy and overtake, because there's nothing more powerful than absolute love and compassion.
Well, that's right. But you know,
because it is love and compassion that manifests this universe.
From a Christian perspective, it was the Christian passion that gave the believers compassion. And that compassion is a compassion toward other people or other souls or other human beings. And if nothing else, you know, it leaves us with the compassion as the unity principle in not only a Christian religions, but mainly all religions.
Mm-hmm. So, Leo, I really don't see the scenario of annihilation and massacre happening the way it used to. Because people are much more sensitive to that now.
I don't see annihilation and massacre, but I do see a strategic strike against any kind of like, for instance, North Korea. To destroy.
I don't see it.
Their ability, okay, to their military ability. I think that makes a lot of sense. But
I see the people rising up from within and just
do that.
Taking over. Yes.
They can only do that if you take away that oppression that keeps them chained. All right, and that's that 3 million man army. Okay, and that's that and Kim Jong Il and that brainwash, that continual brainwashing. Okay, that the North Koreans are subjected to on a daily basis. All right, unless you take away that leader, unless you take away that thing, those people will not be able to wake up. They'll not be able to.
And that's exactly what's happening. The people have tried to make that change in Iran, but the stronghold, it's just like what we were under during the Bush administration.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, I really don't want to bring politics into it, but it's the same feeling that they're going through. You know, they tried to make a change, but the powers that be did not allow it.
That's right. And it took 8 years of constant badgering. I was on it for 8 solid years.
But remember, it was a necessary process for this awakening to happen.
Absolutely. And you have to, you know, little by little by little by little, you know, I kept chipping away at this huge tree, and it finally fell. And it's the same with Iran. It's the same with North Korea. But, you know, North Korea will be inspired by Iran, okay, if they get any kind of internet service or any kind of news in North Korea. It'll inspire struggling and oppressed countries around the world, the people around the world. They look at Iran and say, God, look at these people, you know. Look at these people. They took over their government. They took over their government again. And they did it back in 1979, and they're doing it again. And, you know, they're constantly being evolving into enlightened people. And I think that, and we're on that cusp as well. This country is on that cusp. And I think a lot of nations are going to be following that pattern. I think you're going to see the mega trends happening in the next year, 2 years in worldwide elections. The top.
Well, I'm watching them happen right now, Leo.
Yeah.
With this pandemic that's going on, supposedly.
Sure. Really,
you know, they're trying to get this thing off the ground, but it's not getting off the ground.
Yeah, more people.
And I think it's through wishful thinking that people, you know, are not buying this.
No.
And I think whatever sermon or inoculation they can give us, I think the human body and our potential can we could immune ourselves to any of these sicknesses that they genetically manipulate and produce.
That's right. I mean, it's because remember the receptors,
but yet it wasn't the last of all.
Yeah. Only if we're aware of it, though, George.
Yeah, sure. But once we're aware of it, you know, 50% of our problem is taken care of it because it's exposed for what it is. So it's just taking that remaining 50% and putting different energies into it about things not affect or this ability wouldn't affect me, and it won't. We have
remember
energy, and part of that is confirmed now by the science of some of the readings that we're receiving from the emanations from our sun. We're changing. The polarity is changing of the Earth. Our magnetics are changing. Everything is changing.
Yes. And remember that the receptors from... Go ahead.
That this is what's happening right now is we're seeing things in motion where things aren't happening the way they're programmed to happen. And, you know, there's been a lot of publicity built up, I think, for 3 or 4 months before this pandemic thing even hit the news media. But you understand it's not working. And it's like everything else has been put in motion, even with the economy the way it is. It's not something that could be fixed, and it's not working, and it's being replaced. And I think right now we just have to keep ourselves open to the replacement energies or options we have available to us. And the sky's the limit. I mean, our imagination has produced anything and everything that we have in this world, even with Star Trek and the science fiction realms that we've been dreaming of for the last 50 years. We've manifested that. And, you know, our potentials are off the scale in a sense. But we got to believe that we affect the reality, the illusion that we put together. And right now the hold of the academic world, the hold is to a certain belief because for our own good, we're not given, you know, everything, is dissolving. And people are seeing it for what it is. The illusion is being uncovered, and that's all I could say. And that is
part of
what we're experiencing.
Reacting to the truth, they're reacting to their intuition. They know things wrong. They know these people are lying to us. They know that they're being manipulated. They know what's going on.
Yeah, it's through their intuition, Leo, not through their normal thinking process that they're experiencing this.
No, I believe it's an intuitive aspect of their nature that's awakening them to the bullshit, to the lies, to the deceit, to the entire global scenario that's covering up the reality and covering up our connection to the universe, covering up our connection to God. Covering up our connection to the Creator, and you know, and everything they do is for that massive control. And
let's not forget, we are in the sixth day, where our thoughts manifest in light speed, and it is what it is. And just awaken to that reality, know that it is what it is, because I know myself personally in my world, that in my awakened world, that this consciousness that animates me absolutely is creating some tremendous, wonderful realities that are creating great value for our humanity. And that's it, you can't help but be joyful.
Yeah, no, I see results too, and I'm grateful for that. But I agree with you. And on that note, guys, I think I'm gonna bid you adieu.
There you go. It's been a great night.
Been a little rough on the politics, but you know, to me, the current events are essential. That's why I do my Wednesday night show on politics and Tuesday night on politics and current events, is because I feel that it is the quintessential aspect to understanding our spiritual selves as well as our in our higher selves, you know, because we have to be able to interpret the day-to-day reality that we're being faced with, and the news, and the views, and the issues surrounding us, and that's why I don't know, I'm compelled to do those programs, and it's hard for me not to have them spill over into these programs, which are more in a different realm.
Yes, no, but I think in talking about this tonight was good because it actually, this is what they talk about, the Mayans, that is, and what we are to experience during this time. And it's the total chaos of everything falling around us, and this is what they said would happen. And here it's in motion right now, and it's here we just have to accept what is happening instead of putting pretty pictures on it and believing that it's this, that is not what it is.
Yeah, and that's why I feel it's important that if we're going to, if I am going to do these programs four nights a week, it's because I want to explain both aspects. I want to take it from the reality of the issues to the and wrap them around into some form of spiritual and esoteric meaning as well, and give it much more dimension than what we're seeing. And I think adding that spiritual aspect to it on a Thursday and Friday night programs are important. And I can see by my archives that they're important to a lot of people. And I appreciate your input, George, and of course, Anthony. We really appreciate you calling in as well.
Anthony?
Yes.
You still there? I want to tell you what Leo and I tomorrow we're going and observing a demonstration on Preston Nichols' new sound system. Now, Preston Nichols, he was involved with the Montauk Project, and he was co-author, I think, of 7 books on that. But his new energy or sound system is a sound system that's correlated with lights. Let me explain what he did, 15, 20 years ago, was design and build recording equipment. And what he was able to do is using vacuum amplifiers, he was able to reproduce not only the sounds of a recorded sounds in a studio, but he was also able to record the energetics that the producers of that sound were feeling at the same time. So what I'm saying is that you heard the sound that was recorded in the recording studio, but you also feel what the performers were feeling at that time. Isn't that sound interesting?
It really does. And does this is going to happen tomorrow?
Well, the demonstration now is Preston has had this equipment for a number of years. And the first time I listened to it, I was listening to Glenn Campbell, a Wichita lineman, and with a sound system. It was a beautiful sound. But while I was listening to it with earphones, I was actually feeling or experiencing Glenn Campbell fighting with his wife and problems at home and drinking and drugs and whatever. And it's like I was listening to the music, but I was more engrossed in what he was feeling at the time he recorded that. And sure enough, during that time, he was having problems with home and his wife, and I think he had a variety show on TV at the time. So heaven knows what was going through his mind and the lifestyle. But it picked it up, and being an empath, I was able to pick that up and experience that. But what Preston has done now is that he's not only put the sound, the speaker systems connected, but he also has a light show connected with different lights and different fluorescent tubing. And they resonate with certain frequencies with the sound itself. So this is
what it makes sense
tomorrow.
Yeah, wow, that's going to be incredible. So it literally fuses your holographic self with the holographic self of the person who recorded that music. So there's an energetic fusion, and that's incredible. I can't wait to hear the results.
Well, it's experiencing the sound for what it is, but also the vibrations that come along
exactly.
with the sound. That attach itself to the emotional body, but it's felt by the intuitive body, I should say. So I'm looking forward to it, and of course, Preston, him and I have been friends for years, and we'll let you know. We'll let the listeners here in the show know how the experience was. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
that's what we have in tune tomorrow morning, actually. But we'll let you know how that turned out on next week. But I want to thank you guys for joining us tonight and, you know, sharing your enthusiasm for and optimism. And
there you go. God bless you, Anthony. And Leo.
All right.
And George, I'll call you up right after the show, all right?
All right.
Hey, if you all have a chance, listen to Monday's show. I did a great meditation for people. And also Friday's show, Edgar Mitchell had some breaking news in the world of quantum mechanics that he did on the show. So the last Friday show and last Monday shows, just enjoy them. You really will connect with some great energy.
We'll check into
I'll catch you on
all
the
right.
internet, Anthony.
All right.
All right, buddy.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, good night, Anthony. Good night. And, George, have a great night.
You too, Leo.
All right. I'll call you in a little while.
Okay. Goodbye now.
Good night.